How you doing? Hey, that was good. Hey, let's stand up real quick, eh? Bit of audience participation. Hey, so this morning I'm just talking about hanging out with Jesus, okay? It's not rocket science, so hopefully it'll be cool. I'm pretty excited, to be honest, about studying and stuff. So what I want you to do is just go and high five. Let's do like four people. Is that all good? And whoa. Man, close. Nah. Four people, and I just want you to say to them, Jesus loves hanging out with you. Is that all good? So just Jesus loves hanging out with you. So four people, high five them, Jesus loves hanging out with you. All good? Thanks, Laura. Jesus loves hanging out with you. Crazy. Alrighty, e noho, have a seat. Cool. I was practicing my Spanish this week, but all I got was buenos dias, close, buenos dias, good morning, hey, good, that's it though. Spanish is hard, man, Tadeo is a bit easier. Whoa. Hey, this is my kind of question I'm going to unpack this morning. What's more important than spending time with Jesus, eh? One of the things I want to talk about is, I think most or all of you are here because you love God in varying degrees, eh? You love Jesus, you love hanging out with him. But I think when we're honest, we're not so good at it sometimes. I'm not going to do a show of hands because that would get really awkward. And it's not that we're bad. It's just that life is mad, right? We can do a show of hands on that. Life is crazy, show of hands. Man, life is just a loon fest, right? This week I've literally been all over New Zealand for my job. I've been in Palmy, twice to Wellington and back home and back to Wellington, and just crazy, eh? And I wanted to spend more time hanging out with Jesus this week, but just life got in the road. I flew out at 6:30 on Wednesday morning to go to Palmy, and I had to get up at 5 to pick up a work colleague to get to the airport, and I was like, do I set my alarm for like 4:30 to hang out with Jesus? And I was like, no, because then I'd be like Captain Angry Pants all day and like angry. So I was like, when I get to the airport, and then I got to the airport and it was chaos, and then I was like, when I'm on the plane, and then this weird thing happened on the plane, and it wasn't until like about 4 o'clock that I finally found some time to connect with Jesus. It's not that I'm inherently evil, right? Amen. You can amen to that. I'm a pretty good guy. It's just stuff happened, man. Stuff got on the road. It's a relationship, right? Being with Jesus, hanging out with God is always a relational thing. And no matter how intentional, how focused sometimes we want to be to spend some time, to carve out some time in our day to focus on that engagement, just stuff happens, right? Craziness happens. We get distracted, we have plans that fall over, whānau happens, just craziness happens, and we get pulled away. And again, it's not that we're bad, because we have that good intention, and most of us would agree, yeah, one of the most important things that we need to be doing as people in a relationship with Jesus is to hang out with him, but crazy stuff happens. And I think, and this is a bit of a guess, and I'm going to come right over here, I think, and this is kind of part of my cunning plan where I'm going this morning, I think if most of us were honest, we would say, and when I do hang out with Jesus, it rocks. And I don't mean the quick 5 seconds, read a quick verse, tick the Jesus box, woo, into my day. I mean when we carve out time during our day, and it doesn't have to be long, right? And we're all very different, and so I'm going to talk a lot about we're totally different. And the way I connect with Jesus, some of you are going to be like, what a loony. But then the way you connect with Jesus, I'm going to be like, what a weirdo you are, right? We're all very different. But man, I think most of us will be honest that, when we do manage to make that a priority, when we're intentional about it, when we carve out a chunk of our day, and we connect with God, and we feel his presence, we experience the power of God, we just go, oh my goodness, there's nothing better, this is awesome, right? But then life happens and it's mad again and we're like, what's going on? So what's more important than spending time with Jesus? And I'm going to kind of argue, man, nothing, eh? Nothing's more important than spending time with Jesus, but the planet happens and madness happens. And then we're like, darn it, it's been another day or another week or another month or another year or another whatever. And I need to get some Jesus in me, you know? So Man. Hey, let's look at a verse, eh? I got a verse, Luke 10. You guys will know this verse pretty well. This is honestly one of my favorite passages when I'm thinking about hanging out with Jesus. And it's pretty funny. There's a lot of funny stuff in the Bible. This is a pretty funny one in here. If you've got a Bible, go there. If you've got your phone, jump on YouVersion, go wild. It's good to check out the preachers, not just making up rubbish, eh? Hey, so this is Luke 10, 38 to 42. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her home. So whose home is it? Okay, audience participation, got to know you're actually alive. Whose home is it? Okay, it's Martha's home, right? One of the big things to remember about Jewish culture is that hospitality is just off the charts, right? Off the charts. And the concept of someone visiting your house and you just not going crazy with the whole foot washing and a good couch for them to recline on while they eat and just crazy food is just like, what is this madness, right? And I always think it's like tangata whenua, right? It's like Māori folks. If you've ever been to a Māori person's house or to a marae and just not eaten more food than you've ever seen in your entire life and had more cups of tea, then there's something funky going on. And if you plan I always plan when I'm popping around to some of my Māori friends, I schedule like hours, not like, if they're like a Pākehā, it's like, oh, we'll just have 5 minutes. Hey, how's it doing? Good to see you. Handshake. Yeah, cheers. I'm gone. Māori people that say, hey, come on in, cup of tea, food appears from everywhere, cakes and bread, and you're like, whey, and it's the fan. And you experience, you enjoy it, it's good, right? Same in Jewish culture, right? Real similar, right? This hospitality thing is off the charts. So as you unpack this passage, it's important to remember Martha has a very, very strong societal obligation to provide hospitality for Jesus. Does that make sense, eh? Yeah, and Jesus is now a very important rabbi, and so it's very important for her to, like, you know, we're pulling out the roast, whatever, you know. This is real serious, right? Society, obligation, expectation. Verse 39, her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. So this is actually a really interesting little comment, and it's kind of cool that, like, you guys went through the whole egalitarian, complementarian thing last year. And this is an interesting statement Jesus is making, right? So Jesus is now a rabbi. People are calling him rabbi. And in Jewish culture, women are not allowed to learn, right? And they're definitely not allowed to learn from a rabbi. And they are definitely not allowed to be a disciple of a rabbi. And so by Jesus allowing Mary to sit at his feet, which is the position of a disciple, of a learner, Jesus is making a very big statement to the culture that he's all about women learning, right? Women taking positions of being a disciple, which for a lot of people would have lost their minds. They would have just been like, what are you doing, Jesus, right? But I love this. You got Martha, it's her house, and we're going to see her going nuts. But you got Mary just hanging out with Jesus, right? Hanging out with Jesus. And then it gets loony, verse 40. But Martha was distracted. Turn to someone and say, distracted. Okay, turn to the other person and say, stop distracting me from the sermon. Man. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus, and this is funny, right? So I've got to read this in my ticked off sister voice, right? So she's about to say to Jesus, my stinky little sister is being a pain in the bum. Can you send her into the kitchen? That's what she's kind of saying, right? So this is my ticked off sister voice. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, I'm not a girl, so I don't know how it goes. Doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me, right? Which is, we're going to come back to see why that is the funniest little statement ever, right? But let me finish it. So she's ticked off because she's having to work. But now look at what Jesus says. But the Lord said to her, he's saying this with love, right? You can't hear this with anger, with frustration, with disappointment. This is love. My dear Martha, man, you're worried, you're upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary's discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Man, I just love that compassion. Eh? This is the crazy part where it gets nutty, right? Who's literally sitting in Martha's lounge? Who's literally sitting in Martha's lounge? Jesus. Who's Jesus? Son of God. The creator of the entire universe, right? Paul says really clearly in Colossians 1, 16 and 17, that through him, through Jesus, all things were created and that he holds all things together, right? Just stop for a second and realize or remember, because heaps of you are like Jesus legends, and it's like, whoa, The creator of the universe is literally sitting in Martha's lounge, and because of the being of his divinity, he is literally holding the universe together around. Does that make sense, right? And he's looking at her and he's just going, Martha, Martha, man, you're so distracted over all this stuff. And I know societally that's important, but the most important thing is to come and sit and be with me. Is that crazy, eh? Crazy. And the thing I always think is hilarious about this is Martha has just gone up to the creator of the universe and told him off. Did you see that, right? Jesus, you need to tell my sister to come in. It's like, whoa, Martha, be careful. He could zap you, right? This is real cheesy. This is a real cheesy comment, but I think about this all the time, man. The creator of the universe comes to you every day and just says, hey, just come and sit and be. There's no special formula. There's no magical prayer. There's nothing. Just come and hang out. Let's just be and do life and allow me to empower you and strengthen you. And I know you don't, but I too often go, well, but there's so much to do, Jesus. I'm upset and I'm worried about so many things and I'm distracted and I'm running around. And Jesus is just like, okay, when you're ready, I'm here sitting in the lounge. I'm ready, you know. He doesn't force me. He doesn't punch me or yell at me. You know, he just waits with love and compassion. And meanwhile, I'm missing out on so much, right? I'm missing out on so much because I'm not connecting, I'm not plugging into the creator of the universe. It's just like craziness, eh? This is the key word in that thing, eh? In that passage, Martha was distracted. Again, we're not evil people. We have the intention. We want to connect with God. We want to experience his power and his love and like that amazing song we were singing before. We want that, but just life, madness, distraction happens, eh? I love this quote. This is one of my new favourite C.S. Lewis quotes. Aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. Aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. And I've just been reflecting, obviously, on this passage, eh, this week, and I was like, man, I think that's a cool, and again, I'm not picking on you, a cool revelation about my life, right? So often I'm focused on this stupid planet and the craziness and the madness and the importance and the blah, 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 blah. And I miss what I really need to be focusing on, connecting with the creator of the universe and having him empower and connect and direct and love and, you know, hey. And I love that, the sentiment behind it. If I focus on earth, I'm going to miss the heaven. But if I focus on heaven and my relationship with Jesus, everything down here starts making sense, right? I love that, eh? It's a cool, eh? How good to see C.S. Lewis, man. I think you kind of lose something if you have a sermon without C.S. Lewis in there, eh? No, I'm joking, eh? Cool. Hey, let's look at another passage in a minute. We're going to look at a passage from Mark, but this is kind of the big question here. We're going to look at some verses where Jesus spends time with the Father. And one of the challenges you can say back is like, yeah, shock, Craig, but he's God. Pretty easy for God to hang out with God. But man, if you saw my schedule, if I showed you my to-do list and my calendar, you'd be like, whoa, right? And I always would come back at you and go, okay, let's talk job descriptions, right? So if you have a job or if you're at school or whatever, that could be your job description, right? Our job descriptions are a whole bunch of crazy things. Jesus' job description is this one sentence, save the planet. And I'm like, no matter how busy you are and how important you feel, your job is not to save the planet, right? So when we look at Jesus carving out time to connect with God, I'm like, you can't say, well, if he saw my schedule, because I'm going to say, are you saving the planet? Yeah, and you're going to go, no, okay? So let's look at these verses, Mark 1, 32. Again, this is a real common passage, but I love this. Eh? Are you all good?
Yep.
Okay. Cool. Okay, Mark 1, 32. And I want us to really visualize this. One of the things that frustrates me with me is often I read the Bible and then someone says to me 2 seconds later, what did you just read? And I'm like, yeah, I got nothing. I don't even know. So I want us to really unpack this and try and see it. So we're in Mark 1, verse 32. That evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. So let's visualize it. So that evening after sunset, what time does the sun go down? It's weird, eh? Because you're like, if it's in the summer, it's like 10. But now, so 6? Yeah. We're good with 6, eh? 6? Okay. So I'll check that in, eh? That evening around 6, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. So that's our first many. Notice that. Many sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick. That's our second one with various diseases. And he cast out many, that's the third one, demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. And all that last bit means is the demons always know who Jesus is and they always acknowledge him, right? But Jesus is always silencing them because he doesn't want people to understand the truth about who he is from a demon. He wants them to understand the truth about who he is from him. That's what it's talking about. And so he's healing many, 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 right? And the whole town has come. And one of the big things to remember is whenever Jesus is doing this healing and teaching, there's hundreds if not thousands of people come, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so you remember there's a number of accounts that we have in the Gospels, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that talk about numbers. And one of them is the feeding of the 4,000. And it clearly says 4,000 men. So we know if you add in the woman, there's always a lot of women following Jesus because, like I talked about with Martha, he teaches them. So 4,000, you're looking at least 15 plus 1,000 people. 1,000 people coming to Jesus. The feeding of the 5,000, it literally says 5,000 men and their families. So you're looking, most people would say 20 to 25,000 people. Waikato Stadium seats about 25,000 people. So if you've seen it or you can remember it, just stop and think, well, there's a lot of people coming to hear Jesus teach, right? So we've got at least hundreds and hundreds of people that have come to Jesus for healing, to have demons removed and stuff. And this is a bit cheesy, but again, I want us to understand it. So is Jesus, and I'm not mocking anything silly when I say this, is Jesus' healing style one of these two? Is Jesus' healing style more like this, where he's just like, everyone on this side of the room be healed, quasha, and everyone's like, whoa, hey, the demon's gone, and my leg's fixed, and you know, is it that? Or is it option B, and this is kind of weird, but bad luck for sitting in the front row, Laura, is Jesus' healing style more like this? Oh man, Laura, hey, oh my goodness, you're deaf, so I'm just going to put my finger in your ear, which I'm not going to do, because that would freak us all out, but you can't understand me, and I can't do sign language, so that's what's happening. Or, you know, and he comes in, and he's like, oh man, you're blind, I'm going to make this crazy mud action going on, and man, you sin quite a bit, apparently, Laura, so you need to, he always talks about their sin, eh? I don't think he says it like that, but he's always like, man, you need to stop sinning, you know, and now go and wash, you know. Is it more this conversational, loving, and he's always touching? There's a lot of touching when Jesus is healing. Is it this or is it more this? So hands up for option A. Excellent. That would have been awkward. Hands up for option B. Yeah. It's option B. So now when you kind of start pulling it apart and you go, whoa, he didn't even start till 6. And maybe if it was summer, it's like 8 or 9. The question is, what time did he go to bed, right? And whenever Jesus heals, he gets really drained because he's just ministering and he's caring and he's loving. And so I'm like, man, what time do you go to bed? This is crazy. And now we keep reading. Verse 35, this is cool. Before daybreak the next morning. So what time is daybreak at the moment? 6:30, it's good, eh? So before 6:30 the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, Mark's making a big statement here. When they found him, they said, everyone's looking for you. One of the things I love the Bible like you guys, right? And one of the things I love about it is I can literally pull apart every word, right? In the original, I've got to be careful because this is a translation, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? But I can pull it apart so I can look at this and I'm like, why does Mark go to all the trouble to say, Jesus went to an isolated place. Cool, that's all you need to say. But he kind of keeps going and he says, later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, it's like, what is he trying to say? He's trying to say, Jesus boosted. Does that make sense? Jesus is gone, right? So he wakes up before daybreak. Everyone's still asleep. How does he wake up? He doesn't have an Apple Watch because he's not super cool like me. No, you know, to wake him up, he doesn't have his mobile phone setting. I don't know how he does it. I always think it's like Christmas or an airplane, right? Christmas morning, no one needs to wake the kids up because the kids are so pumped about Christmas. They're up at like 2 and you're like, no, it's still dark. Sleep, foolish children, right? And then it's like 5 and you're like, I give up and you're into it because I'm so excited. Or when you're flying and you've got to get up real early, you just wake up because you're terrified. You're going to miss your flight. And it's like, you know. I wonder if it's like that. Jesus is just like, man, It is so important that I get out to the wilderness to connect with my father. And I, this is a bit cheesy, yeah? This is me. I wonder if he's kind of lying there. Because he's no torches, so he can't go out before it's daybreak, because he'd like walk into a cactus and be like, wow, whatever. And I wonder, I always imagine he's lying and he's like, come on, son, come on, son, come on, son. And then the sun's up just enough and he's like, yeah, baby, and he's up, and he's out. And the idea that Mark's saying, an isolated place, they can't find him. Because if he just stayed in the lounge to connect with his father, within 2 seconds, there'd be 1,000 people around him going, can you heal me? Can you teach me? Can you touch? Can you... It's so important for Jesus to get to this isolated place, right? And this is me imagining it. And I've been thinking about this quite a lot this week. And this is how I was imagining it, right? He's healing. He's drained. He sleeps. Maybe he doesn't even get much sleep, right? Because who knows what time he got to bed. But he wakes up. And I always imagine him walking out of the little house that he's staying in. And as he walks out, he just starts... He just starts feeling that presence, that connection of the Trinity, right? This is a bit crazy sounding, but track with me if you can on this. I referenced this a little bit last week when I was talking about communion, right? The most important thing to Jesus is to connect with his Father and the Spirit, right? And our understanding for that is because if we step back, Jesus is outside time, okay? So Jesus in his divinity is outside time, which means he's existed as the second person of the Trinity forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Does that make sense? So there was never a time that God did not exist, right? And because God is outside time, to even say God's existed forever and ever is wrong, because forever and ever is a time-oriented statement. So you can't say God's existed forever, because then you're trying to put him in time, right? And you can't even say God is eternal, because eternal, again, is a time-oriented thing. So Jesus has existed forever and ever, so anyway, our brains can think about it, in perfect communion, perfect fellowship, perfect love, perfect encouragement, perfect communion with the Father and with the Spirit. Does it make sense, right? Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And then Paul makes it clear in Philippians 2 that for Jesus to be fully human, part of his submission, right, part of his becoming human is that he veils, he chooses not to use some aspects of his divinity so that he can be fully human. Is that making sense? Okay. So, for example, being all-knowing. You can't be human and be all-knowing, but God is all-knowing. So it's not that Jesus stopped being all-knowing and lost that. It's that he chose not to use that all-knowingness, right? Being all-powerful. While Jesus is fully human, he says, I'm still fully powerful, but I'm going to stop being fully powerful. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so one of the aspects of, if this is a bit funky, just kind of chill and then we'll get back to normal stuff in a minute. So one of the crazy things to think is that Jesus had this perfect community with the Trinity for all of, you know, outside time, for all of time. But part of becoming fully human is that that's degraded. That full connection that he has all the time with the Father and the Spirit is degraded because that's part of being a human, right? And so I always imagine that he wakes up and he's just desperate for what he had for all of eternity past. And that's why he wakes up so early. And that's why he's like, man, I'm out of here, isolated place. And he gets out there and it's just like, oh, I feel the presence again that I've had for all of it. Do you know what I mean, eh? Just desperate for it, eh? And I say this with love, and I don't know most of you at all, but I say this with love, man, sometimes in our walk on this crazy planet, the busyness of life squashes us. And our soul begins to dry up. Does it make sense? Our soul just starts feeling thin. We just feel dead and like, oh man, oh, it's not making sense, this planet. And I'm like, man, I don't know you, so I can say whatever I want, right? Man, I just really plead with you, eh, for what it's worth. The thing that's missing is that deep time with Jesus, right? That connection time with Jesus. And picture the Mary and Martha. Jesus is looking at you with love and he's just saying, hey, whoever you are. You're distracted. You're upset over so many things and they're important. They're important. I'm not discounting it. But Mary's found the one thing. Come and sit at my feet and commune and connect, right? Man, I love that, eh? It's cool. We'll jump past that little verse. This is my statement. There's nothing more important in Jesus' life. Nothing more important in Jesus' life than spending time with his Father. And that's why the cross is so crazy, because to die for our sins on the cross, he has to be not separated from the Father, not that the Father turns away from him, but Jesus becomes sin, and instead of experiencing that love and that communion from the Trinity, he's now feeling God's wrath and God's judgment on him. And it's just like, what on earth? Because the most important thing for Jesus is that connection, that depth, eh, that he's going to feel from God. Man, here's another quote. You've probably seen this. I love this quote, C.S. Lewis. God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. And I love that last bit. There is no other. Let me read it again. God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. And we all just bump into Christians that are like, it's just not working. This Jesus thing is not working. And I'm always like, well, what are you feeding on? If you're not plugging in, if you're not intentionally connecting, then of course you're going to dry up inside, right? Of course you're going to dry up. Man. I'm not Jesus, so how can I connect, right? I'm quite glad that none of you are Jesus, because some of you are pretty funky looking, and that would be quite scary, and I'm pretty sure most of you are glad I'm not Jesus. So how do I connect, right? Jesus connects, and he's out, wilderness, this whole thing, but how do I do it in the midst of my life and the madness of my planet? And to me, it's this one word, right? And I want to unpack this in a minute. We'll get you to unpack it, actually, but to me, it's not rocket science. It's simply being intentional, right? If I said to you, hey, if everyone turns up at church at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning, I will give you $1,000. Everyone would be like setting alarms and organising rides, and we're all here, man. Give me the $1,000, bro. Whoa, this thing's been nuts, eh? Dave, you should have yelled at me, bro. Sorry. And then I compare $1,000 with like plugging into the Trinity, and I'm like, man, you can take $1,000 and stick it up your nose. You know what I mean? Man, this is what I need, right? That connection with God is what I need. Oh. But I have to be intentional about it. I've got to figure out, how do I connect with God? Where do I go? Who do I be? What do I do when I feel God's presence? And then how am I going to actually do that? How am I going to put it into my day? So this is the plan, right? Help us. Help us out, everyone. what are different ways you... So we're going to have a little chat time where you just grab a friend and talk for a bit, eh? What are different ways you do or you could spend time in connection with God? Can you explain these as practically as possible? So let me explain it. So what I want you to do is grab a friend or two, or turn around and grab three or five or whatever people and have a bit of a chat. What are ways that you could or you do spend time in connection with God? And let me define connection. I'm defining connection as you really feel the presence of God, right? When you do this thing, you're like, oh, this is me and Jesus. Does it make sense, eh? It's not like, I read a quick couple of verses and I'm like, connect, tick the Jesus box of the day, woo! No. That's awesome. But what do you do where you connect, where you feel God's presence, right? So the giant disclaimer is that we're all incredibly diverse. And like I said right at the beginning, what some people say, the way they connect with God, totally different to someone else. So if the person you're talking to sees something and you're like, what a weirdo, you're not allowed to say that. You have to say, wow, fantastic. Thanks for sharing.
You're a weirdo.
Okay. But let me explain the last bit. Can you explain these as practically as possible? So not crazy theoretical things. So not like, yeah, it'd be amazing if we all, blah, and you're like, well, how does that happen in our normal day? So it's got to fit in our normal, mad, crazy lives. All good? So grab a friend, have a little chat for a couple of minutes, and then I want us to get us to share some of these, and we'll wrap it up. So cool. Okay, whakaronga mai. Listen back this way, eh? Cool. Hey, so what's some ideas, eh? I thought, let's just share a few different things, eh? And we're all weird, so what you say is awesome, even though what I do is perfect, but nah. Yeah, man.
I'm shaped around worship and song.
Yeah, cool.
It's often like in an extended period of worship.
Yep.
That I'll find, I'll feel that connection.
Yeah, cool. So saying like worship and song, so setting aside like extended periods to do that, it's awesome, eh? Cool. Anyone else?
Meditation.
What does meditation mean, bro?
So a couple of forms. So one, sort of just reading maybe through a psalm.
Yeah.
Taking time to really think on it. And then
yeah.
Spirit, reveal to me what's going on and how that applies.
Yeah.
So I guess not just trying to
Yeah, cool.
And another one would just be scripture memory. And yeah. Throughout the day, just really seeking to allow God to use that particular verse to speak into my life.
Yeah, perfect. Hey. So this gentleman's saying, like a meditation, like on a psalm, get a psalm and really chew through it rather than just like, boom, baby, yeah, 2 minutes for the old connection with Jesus today, bonus. It's like, nah, really chewing through it and reading it and understanding it and then memorizing scripture, which is cool, eh? And then chewing over that during the day, eh? So cool. Easy, eh? Easy. And the thing is, someone else would try that and they'd just fall asleep. They're trying to read through the psalm and they're like, oh, I have no idea what's going on, and they're gone. But that's how God wired you, and it's like, man, that's wicked, eh? Anyone else? Someone else? I saw a hand over here somewhere. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I find if I'm traveling, I often put on like a podcast.
Yeah. 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 That's cool. Yeah. So, like, I'm listening to podcasts. There's a zillion amazing Christian podcasts out there. And then you can play the Bible. So if you've got a phone, eh, and you haven't got YouVersion on there, you're nuts, because YouVersion's free. It has like a zillion different versions on there, and then you just hit play and it reads to you. Yeah. I got a friend in America, and he's gone through the Bible, I don't know, he usually does it about 10 times a year. And I was like, shut up, how do you do that? And he said, the dishes. And I was like, what? And they don't have a dishwasher, so he said every night when he's doing the dishes, he just plays, and it's just playing while he's doing the dishes, the Bible. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool. So anyone else? Yeah.
Crazy ones, yeah, through training when we're out running.
Really?
Yeah, in nature. I go in the morning, sunrise, just watching this beautiful
sky
come out. And
that's cool.
Being thankful. And
so saying like training, especially going out running in the morning, seeing the sunrise, and heaps of you are like, the sun, what? It rises. And you're like, if we got you to go out running in the morning, the last thing you'd meet would be Jesus. It'd be like bad words and stuff, yeah. I was just going to share a couple of mine, eh? We had a good little chat down here, eh? All sorts of different things, from journaling to all sorts of stuff. For me, it's running in the bush, eh? So I try and make once a week, just get out into the bush. And it's not so much the running, it's just being in nature. And heaps of us are nature people, heaps of us. And so the thing is, if you know you're going to get into nature and experience God, then, and I don't mean this is going to sound really rude, sorry. Why wouldn't you do that every week? It's kind of weird. Just to me, it's like, oh, did you want your soul to dry up? Boy, you know what I mean? It's kind of like old churches. Heaps of people find old churches. It's like some people walk into an old church and they're just like, oh, it's all musty and smelly. Someone else walks into an old church and they're just like, what the heck? I feel the presence of God. And they just sit and be, you know what I mean? And like that meditating. So, praying through old liturgy, old creeds and stuff. Man, I find that just connects me so. So one of the things that we've got to do, I think, as believers, is try and figure out how has God wired me, how's God designed me, and then how am I going to carve out some of that time in my week so I'm actually connecting with Him, right? And it's the simple word I put up before, intentionality. And I can stand up here and read all the verses on the planet, but if we're not like, okay, I've got to own this, then it's all just kind of a bit of a waste of time. So Etu, I stand up, and I just want us to take a minute to think, eh? So I'm going to pray in a few seconds here. But I just want you to stop and think. You know yourself, eh? You know where you go, what you do, who you be, when you connect best with God, when you feel God's presence. So I'm going to shut up for a minute and just stop and think, man, where is that? What is that thing I do? And that's part A. Part B is, okay, how do I actually pull that into my week or into my day? Does it need to be, okay, Wednesday nights would work, because Wednesday nights, there's nothing on, I can blah, you know, or is it, okay, I've actually got to do what Jesus did. I've got to get up real early, one day, go to my thing, or is it like, okay, Saturday brunch, I'm going to go, I don't know. So just have a think, eh, and have a little talk to God, and be like, okay, God, guide me in this, direct me, and then I'll pray. Yeah, I love that intentionality of Jesus, though. Even though he's tired and he's ministered all night, eh, it's that before sunrise, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray, to be, to connect with his Father. Eh? Let me pray. Yeah. Kororia ki te mātua, ki te tama iti, ki te wairua tapu. Triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who loves us more than we will ever understand in this life, all the life to come. And we're really humbled, eh, that you would even want to connect with us. And then we're blown away by the reality that you do, and we're blown away by the change that happens in our soul, the core of our being, when we do carve out those times. And for some of us, we've just stumbled on it. We've just happened to be at a beach, and the sun came up, and we just stood there in tears going, God, you're amazing. Or we were in that old church, and we were just like, oh my goodness, I feel God, I feel his love, you know, I feel that connection. I just pray none of us would miss you in our lives, God. I pray none of us would be Martha. Hey, and it's good. We need that at times. We need people to cook food, or we're going to be really hungry at lunchtime today. But it's that prioritizing, eh? It's that finding balance, being intentional about spending time with you. So yeah, I just pray this week, eh, that some of us, as we go through our week, would just be reminded by your Spirit. We know that's one of his jobs, to remind us of truth. I pray that this week he would be reminding us of, like, hey, just want to be with you, just want to connect with you, I want to empower you, strengthen you, guide you. Help us not to miss you again this week, Jesus, Yeah. Yeah, pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who loves us so much. Yeah, amen. Amen. E noho, e sida.